Now it's indeed a privilege to call our brother Robert Harper to the platform to address us this afternoon. Brother Harper has already been introduced as the son of Harold Harper. When someone has been ministering around for so many years, are your sons become known as the son of? In his own right, Bob has been ministering in northern Florida, living in the Orlando area, planting assemblies there and working in some of the smaller assemblies, lending help and ministering as the Lord directs. And so the afternoon subject, Christ's preaching and church planting, is the topic of our brother's message, as the Lord will speak through our brother Bob Harper.
Would you turn in your Bibles, please, to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Verse 12. They were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? Others mocking said, These men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words, that these are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day, but that is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Jump down, please, to verse 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken by wicked hands, have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Verse 32. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. Verse 37. Now when they had heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter saith unto them, Repent, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And for the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those that were being saved. May God add his blessing to this reading of God's very precious word. I want to speak to you today upon a message that I hope I can get across to you that has been very much on my heart in the last months, not just as I have thought about the responsibility that we have of sharing God's word with you today, but also of the impression that it's made upon my own heart and of what I believe to be a message that needs to be preached more and more and followed among us and has been neglected with respect to our Christian lives. We want to speak, of course, about some of the principles of evangelism. I've heard some very amazing statistics, as you often hear, with respect to the need of evangelism. For instance, I am told that if the population of the world stood hand to hand, touching one another, that mass would reach to the moon 3 round trips of people. That's a lot of people. We are told that there are more unsaved people alive today than at any time in the history of the world. And if this is true, and we know that it is, the challenge, therefore, is very great. It is indeed an immense challenge. And the challenge comes to the church, because the church has the task of Christian mission outreach, reaching out to the men and women of the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But if you and I have the right dimension in Christian living, you don't need a program for outreach. It's automatic. If indeed when the love of Christ truly fills a man's heart, that outreach will be automatic. He can't keep quiet. But you say, what happened in those days were different from the things that happen today. They were different. It was a new time. It was a new this. It was a new that. I'll grant you some of that. But God is not new. The Word of God is not new. The power is the same. The enemies of the cross, possibly using different tactics, but nonetheless the enemies of the cross are the same. It's only us who have changed. And that's the big problem, is it not? You realize, of course, that at the beginning of Christianity, the Roman Empire could have brought the whole movement deep down into a bucket and thrown it down the drain, except for the power of God. Despite all of the persecutions and barriers and problems and difficulties and sufferings, especially what our brother was speaking about, and I appreciate very much the message that he gave. It really spoke to my heart. Despite all of these things, they cut through their society just as scissors cut through paper, and they, in their generation, turned the world upside down. Yes, it was a new dispensation. I know that. You know that. It was a new beginning. It was a new form of life. But it was one that has no ending. It's the same life that we have today. And it was characterized by the movement of the Holy Spirit, who was working in transformed lives. and that work of the Holy Spirit could be characterized by the flame that appeared upon the disciples who were gathered together in that upper room. And the flame of the Holy Spirit that hit at Pentecost is the same flame that should be burning in our hearts today. Here we see, I believe, in this passage of Scripture that we have before us, the principles of outreach. First of all, to the Jewish disciples, were the signs of the new dimension that we talk about in the outline, a new dimension of life. And we're going to specially emphasize today that new dimension. The signs which were given, the signs of the new dimension, were first of all the sound, the rushing mighty wind, that which sounded like a tornado. It was one of the physical sounds or things that brought the people together initially. It was a rather unhappy translation of that second chapter when it was noised abroad in verse 6. Doesn't mean when the rumors got around. It's when the sound of the rushing wind was heard. That was the initial point of contact with respect to the curiosity of those around the Jews, the disciples at that time. Then, of course, there was the sight. That is the cloven tongues like as a fire. That has never been repeated. But I believe this appealed to the senses, and it was an appeal to the senses, to the Jewish disciples. Of course, this was characteristic of God's dealings with Jews. He gave them signs that they could see and look at and hear and experience, that there was a change coming about within the world at that time. And then, of course, there was the seal. That is the real, true Holy Spirit. And here you have the appeal not so much to the senses as to the inner spirit. The tongues were the manifestation of this new dimension. And then came, of course, the initial point of contact. You find this was remarkably easy, was it not? You say, what do you mean? Because I want to tell you about the surprise. Perhaps we could say the surprise was to the disciples first, when they began to speak in other tongues. But that is almost irrelevant with respect to surprise. When we look at the surprise that came upon those who came to hear, it says in verse 12 that the Jews were amazed and perplexed. The word perplexed means wondering. And Peter said, fellow Jews, follow Jesus. These men are not drunk, as you would suppose, seeing it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. And what is very interesting, as we look at this story, and perhaps have missed the importance of what happened there, is this. The first movement of outreach was not the church going out in a mighty evangelistic effort, costing millions of dollars, but it was the world coming into the church in amazement. Now, I hope you will not take from this that I'm against Billy Graham crusades, or mass evangelism crusades. Often a word can be taken up from the tape that's heard and brought out of context, and it could be said, well, Harper didn't think we should have any kind of evangelistic crusades. But this was not true at the beginning of the early church. But the effect of mass evangelism is minimal unless the world is drawn in to the church to find out, to their surprise, what's going on here anyway? That's a much needed emphasis today. What does all this mean? And the effect that came upon these people that gathered together around the disciples, some were amazed, some were bewildered, and some were wondering.
Of course, as far as the gospel and evangelistic outreach is concerned, we have found consistently that people primarily come because they're brought. And one of the real reasons for the blessing that we've seen at Woodside has been because all of our people have been praying for months up to a year ahead of time on a regular basis for specific people that they plan to work on and to bring. And whether it's neighbors, people that they work with, people that they, relatives, whatever, but they've been praying for them by name for about a year ahead of time. And when the time comes, they bring them, and God has prepared hearts, and we've seen many of these folk come to know Christ as Savior. Prayer is the essential ingredient, and then whether it's the normal, natural contacts that we have, or whether it's through personal invitation in the community, quite frankly, that probably isn't near as effective as really a burdened heart for people that we already know. Because there we have gained their acceptance already, and we've earned a hearing already. And as we do that effectively through the year, perhaps inviting them to our home, being friendly with them, they'll come out then to the gospel meetings, and God will work in their heart. So I think that even if we find it difficult sometimes to communicate directly with them the gospel, we can at least be their friend and be ready to invite them in under the sound of the gospel when that opportunity presents itself. So.